Blog Talk Radio.
I'm looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world, my place in this world.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is none other than John Stanko, your host, and coming to you again today solo. I shared with you the other day that over the weekend I felt the prompting from the Lord that he wanted me to be a teaching beacon. Never heard that those two words put together like that before. A teaching beacon. When I looked up the definition of a beacon, it's a light in a high place to warn, to signal, to celebrate a source of light or inspiration. So my first question after I put those comments in my journal was, what should I teach on blog radio? How should I use it? Now, for many years, I have done blog radio shows. I did one for my church. I did one for the graduate program that I was a part of. I did one for the undergraduate program that I was a part of. And I have started this one. And in almost all of them, and this would be hundreds, and then I had two AM radio shows, one on leadership and one called Wake Up to Purpose. Those were also talk shows where I interviewed other people. So I could be close to 1,000 shows that I have done, and in the 95% of them I have interviewed other people, and I will do so again. I love to highlight other people, love to give them a chance to experience and see how quickly the time goes, and it's good practice for me as an interviewer. I don't prepare the people I interview. I don't give them a list of questions in advance. We just talk. And as I said, I will be glad to continue to do that. I hope I do a lot more. Sometimes I need to take a step back and use these shows for something else. And so, and that would be for some of the things that I have taught, some of the things that are on my heart and on my mind. And so I've told the Lord that if that's what you want me to do, then you have to bring the listeners. I don't want to be doing this and have no response. And so I did this a couple days ago and had a great response. And so I'm going to do it again. And I did write some people this morning to be guests on the show. Haven't heard back from them yet, so we will see where that goes. But in the meantime, I wrote my videographer. I said, how easy is it to pull the audio off my preached messages, off my presentations that I have done online? And he said, very easy. So I've got lots of stuff that we can draw on and put out there for you to utilize. You may not be in a place where you can watch, so you can't use my app, but you may be in a place where you can listen, and therefore you can listen to this podcast. So today we're going to look at just a fascinating story in the Old Testament and an equally fascinating character by the name of Samson. I have said over the years, Samson could not get into most of our churches today in leadership, yet he is prominently mentioned in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame for Faith Heroes, and his story is so interesting to look at. A cultural challenge because of the differences between now and a couple millennia ago when Samson was in action. And so, but the title of this is One More Time. And I want to paint a picture for you of how badly Samson failed based on who God had made him to be, yet how at the end of his life God used him one more time. And I don't want this just to be a story that you hear and say, wow, isn't that something, or that's really unusual. But I want you to take the lessons out of it and apply, see if they apply in your own life. So let's go ahead and get started with the story of Samson one more time, and then I'll come back at the end and make some additional comments.
This weekend, Pastor Rock is taking a much-needed and much-deserved break and from pulpit ministry, and so we have with us this weekend John Stanko. Just briefly introduce, John directs, founded a ministry called Purpose Quest with its purpose, if I may be bold enough to say, is to help people find their purpose in life and give them direction as it pertains to their gifts and callings and the way in which God has called them and directs them to live their lives and to impact the world for the kingdom. John was last in the pulpit probably about 5 years ago, and so he's been preparing for these past 5 years to be here with us this weekend. But without further ado, let me introduce John, and let's welcome him, shall we?
Thanks, Makanya. Makanya stole my joke from last night, and it's all right, I'm going to sing your song from next week, so that's okay. I know how to get even, and it's okay to laugh in church, isn't it? I would take a vote. We are a voting congregation, aren't we? And so all in favor say aye. Aye. All right, there we go. Well, it has been 5 years, but we've been members here for 7.5 years, my wife and I, and so it is an honor to step into a pulpit that is filled every week by one of God's great teachers. And we are really a blessed people, and I know I have benefited so much by sitting under Pastor Rock's ministry, but also being part of this church. And I was born not too far from here, 58 years ago, and was born and raised in the South Hills, met the Lord at Duquesne University while I was a graduate student 35 years ago, and the rest of, as they say, is history. And it's been a great journey that brings me here this morning. We are going to talk about purpose. I can talk about other things, but in talking with Pastor Rock, we kind of went over some of the things that I was considering, and he thought this would be good to talk about. The title of the message this morning is One More Time. By experience, I know that I'm going to stir things up in your life, more things than we will be able to answer. And because of that, we decided in the middle of your bulletin, left side page, is just how you can get in touch with my website. And I've developed a lot of material and resources to help people all over the world identify what their purpose is. Everything I do is predicated on the fact that God wants you to know your purpose. In fact, the main point we're going to talk about today is that you have a purpose, something only you can do and be. You are not here to fill out the numbers in a church or in some plan where God has a certain quota. There's never been anybody like you before on the history, the face of the earth. No one's had your gift mix, your experiences. And so if God has a purpose and a will for your life, and he does, he must reveal what it is. He cannot hold you and I accountable for what we do not know. And God is a great communicator. He speaks every language. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through his word. He speaks through other people. Some people who know him, some people who don't. We know by record in the Old Testament, he can even speak through a donkey if he has to. Oh, if your heart is to know God's purpose for your life, God's will is to let you know what it is. But sometimes it requires just a little different way of looking at things, because we've been conditioned to think a certain way, especially when it comes to serving the Lord. So if you need to access additional material, the information is in the bulletin of how to do that. But before we go to Hebrews 11:6, and talk more about your purpose, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as our pastor often prays, we need some miracles this morning. Two specifically I'm thinking of. One is the miracle of speech, that you would help me to say the words that you would want me to say this morning. That will take a miracle. But you're a miracle-working God, and I submit myself to you, my faculties, my being, to fulfill the reason that we are all here this morning. Help me, Lord. And the second miracle, Lord, is the miracle of hearing. You will enable us who come from many different places and different backgrounds, and there are different stresses, different tensions, different places of our walk with you, Lord, that you will grant us to hear your word today, that you would allow one message to go forward, and each person here would be able to go home and say, that was just for me. That will take a work of a miracle of the Holy Spirit. But you're a miracle-working God, and we count on you this morning. for those two things. We're asking them in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we submit ourselves to the study, illumination, revelation of God's Word, may the Lord be with you. Now, Hebrews 11:6, one of my favorite verses, when I've written a few books and people like them autographed. Jack Hayford always says when you get an autographed book, it's worth 50 cents more in the garage sale. But anyway, when I sign under my name Hebrews 11:6. I love Hebrews 11:6. I love Bible. I love the chapter of Hebrews 11:6. And Hebrews 11:6 says, in part, it is impossible to please God. Now, I know Bible scholars have me already. You know that's not what it says in totality. But in part, that's what it says. It is impossible to please God. There is nothing that you and I have that God needs. There is nothing that you and I could say that would add to the body of God's knowledge. There is nothing that you and I could do that would impress God. There is nothing that you and I could come up with as an idea or a means to God that would bring pleasure to God. Oh, it's impossible to please Him. Just bear with me. We're not going to stay there, but we're just visiting there. Bible has lots of stories of people who tried to come up with ideas of how they could please God. And if you're like me, your own history has a few examples of how you thought you were doing things that really would please God, only to find out it was sincere, but it was sincerely wrong. There was a man in the Old Testament by the name of Cain. He and his brother brought sacrifices to the Lord. And Cain brought sacrifices of the fruit of the ground. And I don't know what he brought. I'm old. I'm not that old. But I just don't get the impression that Cain brought a cucumber and a tomato and a couple of apples as a sacrifice to the God of the universe. I think he brought a magnificent offering in both quantity and quality, but for some reason, we won't go into why, God rejected his offering and he got angry. And he found out the truth of Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. There are other stories we could go to, but we'll jump to the New Testament. A group of men, Jesus' contemporaries, who were named the Pharisees. When we hear the Pharisees, we kind of react because we know they gave Jesus, for the most part, a hard time. But these were the holy men of Israel. They had committed much of what we know to be the Old Testament to memory. They were so meticulous in their giving that they weighed the weeds in their garden to make sure that they could give God His 10%. So zealous for God that when God came to His house, they killed God to preserve the system that God had given them. They found out the reality of Hebrews 11:6, that it's impossible to please God. Now, you know that's not all it says. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I've already tinkered with the Word of God a little bit. I trust I haven't done damage to it. Just give me one more, indulge me one more time. Because if without faith it is impossible to please Him, that means that with faith, it is possible to please God. Is that okay? We didn't. Without faith, impossible. With faith, possible. That it is possible for you and me, when we put our hand in God and we say, I trust you to bring pleasure to the Father heart of God. Faith is the great equalizer. You may not have as many spiritual gifts as somebody else. You may not have as much money. You may not have as many life opportunities. But when you trust God, when you have faith in Him, you please Him. If you're going to be a person of purpose, it starts and ends with faith. Without it, you can't figure this out. You can't go down a checklist. I don't provide worksheets. Tick, 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 tick. It requires God to speak to you. And you say, well, how do you know when God speaks to you? You know. I think of the story when I was pastoring in Orlando, Florida, and they were working on a building, and they had a high-rise fire truck, and they were using to work on the top of the building, and the fire truck turned over one day with a man in it. He forgot to put out the stabilizers. And the fire truck came over and hit the hood of a car. And There was stucco mud and paint everywhere. And the man crawled out of the little basket that you stand and work in. Everybody was shocked. They ran up to him. They said, "You okay?" He said, "Yeah, I think I'm okay." And they said, "What do you want to do? I mean, you want to call your family? You want to go to the hospital?" This is what he said. True story. He said, "I think I want to go to church on Sunday." Now, someplace between the top of the building and the hood of the car, God spoke to him. You can quibble about how did he know, but he knew. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Because anyone, how many anyones do we have here this morning? Yeah, we're all anyones. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek Him. Now, that's always the rub for me, the word earnestly or diligently, because when I think I've been diligent, God may not think so. Or I may think, you know, "Hey, I've been at this 2 weeks, God. I'm here at the pay window for my reward." He says, "Go 6 months. You know, at the end of 6 months, I come back to punch the ticket," but he's, "No, we're not done yet." But He does reward those who diligently or earnestly seek Him, even those who seek them in regards to their purpose. Now, Hebrews 11, the great chapter, the Faith Hall of Fame, which in some ways is open-ended. There's still room for people to get in who are pleasing God. But it goes on to list the what I call the heavyweights of the faith. I mean, you know them. Abraham is in Hebrews 11. And his son and grandson Isaac and Jacob. And Abraham's wife Sarah is mentioned. And oh yeah, then there's Joseph, the great hero of the latter chapters of the book of Genesis. And then Moses is there. I mean, of course Moses gets a lot of faith ink in Hebrews 11. Because the story is just one faith scenario after another. But then the writer starts, he wants to mention more names, and like any good preacher, he's running out of time. And you get down to verse 32 of Hebrews 11, and it says, "What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson." Samson. Samson is mentioned in Hebrews 11, along with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. What's Samson doing there? There's no asterisk next to his name. There's no footnote that says, "Keep in mind what a mess up this guy was." I mean, in modern language, we would say, I mean, Samson had issues. Samson, I'm not sure he'd be on the leadership team of any local church. I'm not sure he could get in. But he's mentioned in Hebrews 11. Not only as a man of faith, but a man of purpose. So I thought it'd be good this morning if we just went back and looked at a few very quick, brief scenarios, stories out of Samson's life and make some purpose points, and then we will wrap up. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Judges 14. If not, you can look. Read along with us on the overhead. Judges 14, verse 1. So Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. And when he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." I wonder what Samson sounded like. He didn't sound like me. You know, "I've seen a woman. Get her for me." Certain authority about what Samson said. You know, when you read the Bible, you read it, you think God could even sound like you. He doesn't. I don't know what Samson sounded like, but not like me. Anyway, his father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." Verse 4, his parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time They were ruling over Israel. Now, before I make a purpose point here, I want to say what this passage, just make sure you understand what it's not saying. It is not saying to marry outside the faith. It is not saying to play dating or marriage roulette. Marriage is an impossibility as it is between two Christians. I've been married for 34 years. I know some of what I speak. My wife was here last night. She said, amen. That's not what it's about. Don't play fast and loose with your future by dabbling with someone who doesn't share the values of the gospel or the kingdom of God. That's not what it means. And Samson didn't have the Bible. He didn't have churches. He didn't have church history. He was becoming the Bible. His story was becoming a part of the Bible. But what is the point I want to make there? Well, point number one is God has been and is working in your life to fulfill your purpose, whether you realize it or not. You say, well, how do you know? Well, I know that by faith. I know that God is intimately acquainted with all your ways. I know that He is leading and guiding you and has prepared you and is preparing you for the purpose that He has for you. And many people I work with, we go back all the way back to childhood in my own life. And I was just talking to one of the brothers before we started today. He said, where you been? Because I love to travel. I've traveled a lot in ministry over the last 10 or 15 years. I love it. I enjoy it. Now, why would God give you something that you enjoy and never allow you to do it? It makes no sense. God is not a tease. He's not playing with some babies like with a kid. You want this? You want this? You can't have it. You know how I am. I never let you do anything you like. No, He's been preparing you, is preparing you. My backyard in Baldwin Borough, as a 10-year-old, I could look up in the sky and see a plane on the way to the Pittsburgh airport and knew exactly what airline it was. I was a stamp collector. My father was a collector, and he would bring these valuable American stamps home, and he was all excited about those. I'd spend a dollar and get a sack full of foreign stamps that were worthless. But I'd get them and dump them out, and I'd have this stamp book. And Mozambique, where's Mozambique? Well, I've been there now. Where's Austria? Well, I've been there now. But I was dreaming about it when I was a child. Now, this was really brought home to me graphically a few years ago when I was in Nairobi, Kenya. I was speaking in Nairobi Pentecostal Church in midweek service, and I raised the issue that night. Don't really remember doing it. I asked the question, what is it that you did when you were a child that you don't do anymore, that if you did it, it perhaps could connect you to your purpose? I went back a year later, and on the radio, Hope FM, a Christian station, they were interviewing a woman who was there that night, a year earlier. She heard the question, she walked out, and she said in the interview, I knew exactly the answer to the question for me. She said, I'm 33, I was a secretary, I hate my job, but the answer to the question that he asked that night was, I love to crochet, I love to knit. So she said, I started knitting again. She said, one morning I woke up, she said, the Lord impressed on me to knit a poncho. She said, I didn't know what a poncho was. She said, the Lord had to show me. Can God do that kind of thing? Oh, yeah, He can. If you have the faith to do it, He can. So she said, I knit the poncho, gave it to a friend. The friend started wearing it, and people would come up to the friend and say, where did you get that? She said, my friend made it for me. They'd say, could she make one for me? And the day, a year later, she was on the radio. She was no longer a secretary. She had 3 employees, and she had more orders for knitting and crocheting than she could possibly handle. That was a Thursday. Saturday, I was having a public seminar at a local hotel. She came. I didn't know she was coming. She told the same story and an addendum that when she got off the phone from that interview, the phone rang off the hook with more orders. She was so frustrated. She said, I can't handle what I have now. Got another phone call. Answers the phone and says, I'm sorry, I'm not taking any more orders. And the voice said, well, I don't want to place an order. Our company has some knitting equipment. We don't use it anymore, and we were just wondering if we could give it to you. You see, God wants you to fulfill your purpose more than you do. That's why you're still here. He'll meet you more than halfway. But in faith, you can receive the fact that God has been preparing you and is preparing you now. Your house is not left to you desolate. God is with you. So again, in faith, so often when I talk with people, people have an overhanging cloud that they think God is going to get them if they ever get honest with God. But if God knows your words from afar, if God were going to get you, you'd have already been gotten. If He knows what you're going to say before you say it, saying it's not going to get you in trouble. My point is, you can be honest with God. You don't have to be afraid of Him, because that's a part of faith too. But God has been working in your life to fulfill your purpose, whether you feel it, whether you realize it or not. Now let's go on to the next few verses in Judges 14. It says, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother, and as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked to the woman, and he liked her. Now, just stop there. We'll pick that back up. Now, I told you I go to Africa. I take people with me when I go. And one of the things I like to do is take people on a safari, because it just kind of connects them with the animals and the land. So I've been out in a lot of safaris, and you go out in a vehicle. You know, I've been as close to giraffe and hippos, well, not so much hippos, but rhinos, and, you know, as close as from here to those speakers. Pretty cool. And the lions, you know, you're there, and they're crunching on the head of a wildebeest or whatever they're doing that day. It's pretty awesome. And now, I'm here to tell you that I've seen a lion. If I ever kill one with my bare hands, you will know. I mean, you will have to watch the video. Still shots signed by me. There will be lion tearing apart with bare hands seminars. There'll be a foundation. I mean, I'll let you know. Now, my point is that whether when we do things in our purpose, we don't think they're very special. Samson tore apart a lion with his bare hands and didn't tell anybody because he didn't think it was anything special. Now, it says he did it as you would tear apart a wild goat. I would be impressed with anybody who could tear apart a wild goat. That would impress. I mean, but just think of it. What it would take for you to tear apart in any animal that's alive, that is not cooperating. I mean, you've got to be a little... We all have that. We all do those kind of things that when we do them, we forget what time it is. Something comes on us to help us do it. And can you imagine, I mean, he tore this lion apart. He comes back to his parents, and he's all covered with lion stuff. And his mother says to his father, "Where was he?" He says, "I don't know, don't ask." Verse 8. Some time later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass, and in it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. And when he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they ate it too. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. I do a lot of traveling. I just hope if anybody serves me lion carcass honey for breakfast, they will let me know what it is. So this honey tastes a little gamey today, doesn't it? This is an orange blossom honey, is it? Purpose point number two is you already have a testimony upon which you can build a purpose. See, the Spirit of God has come on you in your life, and you just didn't survive a broken relationship, a bankruptcy, a financial disappointment. You overcame it. You were victorious. The last time I was here 5 years ago, I remember what I spoke about. One of the examples was when I worked in downtown Pittsburgh, and I had a supervisor that was perverse. He was morally bankrupt. And when I didn't submit properly, God dealt with me. And I couldn't deal with that situation. The Spirit of God had to help me. And I overcame it, and I was victorious. But you know, not only did I tear that lion apart in the power of God, But there's honey there. Every time I go back to that story, it encourages me and the people I tell about it. See, most people in purpose are waiting to be somebody else. If God would just make me somebody else. I need more knowledge. I need more information. No, you already have a testimony. God is with you. You've survived. Even our young people here, some of you have survived bad teachers, broken homes, financial lack. And you're here. And not just are you surviving, you're thriving because God has helped you. Oh, take who you are and write poems about it. Did you hear Josh's, I don't know if you listened to the rap, but that was him. That was part of his story. He went back to a lion and there was honey there and he shared it with us this morning. You can do the same thing. Don't wait to be somebody you're not. Be who God made you to be and go do something about it today. Go do something with it. I know there are some painful things in your past and I'm not trivializing those things. I'm not saying you have to go trumpet them from the rooftop. But if you've been through something difficult, I promise you, God wants to bring other people who have been through the same thing. And if you'll go back and scoop out some honey with your hands, you can give it to them. But while you're giving it to them, take a taste yourself. Because it'll feed you and remind you of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. So God is working in your life, whether you realize it or not, for you to fulfill your purpose. You already have a lot to work with. You have a testimony. You have a story. And because you're so familiar with it, you take it for granted, but other people won't. It'll be honey. And it will sweeten their lives and open their eyes. Well, we don't have time to go through all of Samson's story. If you don't know it, please read it. Most people are familiar with it. And plus, there was a song years ago that sang about Romeo and Juliet and Samson and Delilah. Anyway, that makes us Bible experts. But in Judges 16, this is the end of the story. He's given away his secret of his strength, that he never cut his hair, which is a whole other message, which we won't go into. We got to wait 5 years for that one. Gave away his secret in verse 21 of Judges 16. Then the Philistines seized him and they gouged out his eyes and took him down to Gaza. And binding him with bronze shackles, they sent him to grinding in the prison. But the hair in his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. That's a significant verse. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." Verse 24. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." And while they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." It's what the world wants to do with the church. You know, bring your choir and sing at the Academy Awards, but don't preach the gospel. Just entertain us. Oh, I'll entertain, but they're going to get the message too when I show up. Anyway, so they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, and it's almost like you want to interrupt and say, "Don't you dare pray! Don't you dare go there! After what you've done, how dare you think you can call on the living God?" Have you ever thought that or even said that about yourself? Could this be the thing that qualified Samson to be included in Hebrews 11? That in faith, after what he had done, in the condition he was in, not knowing if God was even going to hear him or answer him, he prayed. He said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me. Oh, God, please strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." And then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, embracing himself against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And then he pushed with all his might. And down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Purpose point number three is you need one more time faith. if you're going to clarify and fulfill your purpose. It's never too late. You've never failed too much. You've never struck out too many times with the bases loaded. God is not angry. I said earlier, if He were going to get you, you'd be gotten. He is with you. He is with me. He is with us. Because it's not about me. And it's not about you. And it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And God's assigned something for you to do that only you can do. So let the poets write. Let the writers transcribe. Let the dancers dance. Let the builders build. Let the travelers travel. Let the cookers cook. And it doesn't matter how many times you failed. It doesn't matter where you've been. You're still here. We need you in the game. God needs you in the game. But if you're going to do it, you're going to have to exert over and over and over again, one more time faith. Just like Samson. It's an amazing story to me that God would hear him after what he had done, the betrayal that he had exhibited, the playing fast and loose with the things of God, but God did. And his story is there as an example for you and for me to learn from. God has been working and is working in your life to help you fulfill your purpose, whether you realize it or feel it or not. You already have a testimony upon which you can build a purpose. And you need one more time faith if you are going to clarify and fulfill your purpose. Because the point I want you to remember is that you have a purpose. Something that only you can do. And something that only you can be. Let's bow our heads. You know, it's occurred to me all morning that there may be some here this morning, and you haven't taken the first step in purpose. Doesn't mean you haven't been functioning in things of purpose, but your purpose is never meaningful until you have a right relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ, His Son. I'm authorized today by God and by, I believe, the leadership of this church to offer, if that's you, to offer you a deal. And the deal is, if you will come this morning and give God your life the way it is, surrender it to Him, then God in return will give you His life. Now, it's a crude example, but that's like turning in a set of bald tires and getting the best Michelins that there are. But that's the kind of deal that God offers you this morning. Not talking church membership, I'm talking about a right relationship with Jesus and the Father through Jesus. If that's you, I'm not going to call on you, not going to embarrass you. We have a prayer room over to my left, to your right. I would encourage you that if you want to make that transaction today to go in there, there'll be men and women who can help you. If you're visiting, what better place to do this than right here? We don't know who you are. You won't impress us if you do. You won't impress us if you don't. But heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here this morning who say, yes, I'd like to take advantage of that deal today. I would like to trade my life that hasn't been going so well for the life of God and take the first step of purpose. That's you. Just raise your hand. Just let me know who you are. Thank you. Yes. Anyone? Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to be flippant about what we're talking about, but it all starts with the decision. Started for me 35 years ago, and it starts for you this morning. If you raised your hand, please, we're talking about eternity. Take 5 or 10 minutes. Go meet the people in, it's marked right there, prayer room. If you can't find the prayer room, come find me. I'll be up here, and we'll get you there. But it all starts with that. Now, I'm going to assume everybody else, you've taken care of that issue. Now, I want to ask you a few things. How many of you have said, I don't feel like God's doing anything in my life. I don't think I have a purpose. Raise your hands. I want to quickly pray for you. You're point number one. You haven't felt or sensed. You can't find any rhyme nor reason. Raise your hands. Father, as a speaker of purpose, the message you've given me, I pray that you would help these people. Show them like you showed the woman in Kenya. The clues, the keys the paths, the ways to go that will enable them to connect with who you have made them to be. And I ask that you would do this, Lord, for the kingdom's sake, for their sake, for your sake. Amen. Second category, how many of you have realized today you got something you can build on? You've got a dead carcass with honey in it, and you can go back and do something with that. Let me see your hands. Broken, yeah, okay. Keep your hands up, Father. For these whose hands are raised, I pray that you give them creative ideas and faith and boldness to go forth with what they have to feed a dying world. Whatever it is, Lord, help them to draw sustenance from that line and help them to go back over and over again that there would never be any lack in what they would have to use and give away for you. Amen. Third category. Anybody here needs one more time faith? You hear today say, I've failed so many times. I'm just sitting out and spectating. Is there anybody here? Yeah, there are, of course. Part of life. Failure is a learning experience. Anybody, raise your hands. It's important, especially in this category, that you acknowledge before God that you're saying, I'm determined, if God will help me, to have one more time faith. Father, for those whose hands are raised, oh Lord, just put a resolve in them today, just like Samson, to put their hands on the pillars one more time and do something for you. Help them, Lord. Give them courage, give them strength, and give them focus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you for your patience. Pastor Rock will be back next week. I am just the pinch hitter. He's the home run hitter. But Father, we want to be a purpose-led people, individually and corporately. So as we go forth, let us walk in the power of that purpose. And until we're together again, Lord, watch over us and protect us. And help us to bear fruit for your kingdom and for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace in the grace of God.
Amen. 12 years ago, I spoke that message, and I would preach it the same way tomorrow if I was invited to and had the chance. You have something to do that only you can do, and God wants you to know what it is, and even your failures cannot prevent you from doing it somewhere in some capacity. So that's about it. And so spread the word. Share this with someone who could benefit from it. And because God wants to help us all know our purpose. And, of course, all my talk about Kenya and safaris just stirred up in me. Once again, my love for travel, my love for the people there, and my hope and desire that I'll be able to get there again soon. So until we are together again, this is John Stanko, your host, signing off and just encouraging you to not allow failure or your own thinking or limits you put on yourself to prevent you from being productive and fulfilling your purpose. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.